He preached in our church on Sunday, the following day, for the first time as a member. He'd preached here before as a guest. He kept saying, man, I get to preach in my church. I get to preach in my church. And it was just a wonderful weekend. Monday, we spent the day recording some things for the seminary. And then he took his family to Texas to visit family. And while watching a movie with his wife, just had this event that took him home and on Thursday.
Well, Founders Ministries exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reform of churches in the SBC and beyond. And one important part of that ministry has been Founders Seminary, just announced not too long ago. But with the passing last year of our beloved brother, Dr. Vody Bachum, what's next for the seminary? And what is Tom Askell up to personally? I'm excited to talk with my friend today on Eschatology Matters here on the EM Network, as well as the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network.
Take Heart with Corey Wing. The Worldview with Alex Kochman. The Magistrate with James Baird and Josh Howard. The Based Boomer Podcast with Mike D. Virgilio. The Millennial Medic with Jacob Glass. Down to Earth Theology with Matt Plett. Shadows to Substance with George Sayor. 5 new episodes every week. We are the EM Network.
Eschatology Matters. I'm Alex Kochman. Usually, I host The Worldview every Monday. You can also catch me on The Missions Show, which is a show released and produced by ABWE, a global missions agency reaching into 92 countries, where I serve full-time. And yet, today, I'm privileged to do something different here on Eschatology Matters, of course, and that would be talking to my friend, Pastor Tom Askell. And so if you can follow this, Tom, I'm here at ABWE for the Eschatology Matters show on the EM Network and the FLF Network talking to Founders Ministry. So that's all of the different brands and ministries. But you know what? It does just go to illustrate that we are all one big family in the sense that we're brothers in Christ. We're fighting for the same things. And that's what I want to talk with you about. I would imagine many of our listeners, if not most of them, know you already. Truth be told, Tom, I first became aware of you back during Woke Wars One, back during the social justice controversy. I think my first exposure to you was through the Dallas Statement that was released and put out. Oh. And obviously, we got to know each other through that whole saga, and it was truly a saga. But of course, you've been ministering faithfully for decades prior to that. And you've certainly got your battle scars. And one of the things that I've come to know and love so much about you, brother, is the fact that, you know, you could have sailed off into the sunset. You could have devoted yourself to other things. And yet you've been someone who knows when it's time to come off the bench. And for the sake of the church and reformation in the church and the advancement of the gospel, know what battles to fight and what battles not to fight. That takes real discernment. So for somebody maybe less familiar with your ministry, maybe not as familiar with Founders itself. Why don't you give just a little bit of introduction before we dive in and talk more about the seminary?
Yeah, well, thanks, Alex. Thanks for having me on. It's always a joy to talk to you and appreciate the partnership that we share on multiple levels in the work of the gospel. That Dallas Statement would have been 2018 or so. So I guess that's when we...
Yeah, ancient history.
I'm just beginning to recollect some mutual friends that we had back then that probably wouldn't be included in either of our friend circles at this point today because they've gone different directions than the directions we've gone. But I'm grateful for you and for the fellowship of the gospel we've had. Yeah, Founders Ministries has been around since 1983. It actually began in a prayer meeting the year before 1982. Seven men, I was a student back then, met together to pray and think and plan about what we should do. There seemed to be a revival of the doctrines of grace within our circles, which was largely SBC circles back then. And we didn't know what to do to steward it. Ernie Reisinger was the key leader back then. Tom Nettles was involved as well. And so we spent a Saturday morning praying, reading scripture, singing, and then that afternoon planning, saying, what should we do? We decided to have a conference the next year, held that conference in Memphis, Tennessee, 1983. About 100 guys or so showed up. We were surprised there were that many who were interested in a conference on the doctrines of grace. And from there, Founders Ministries developed. And it started just as a conference, but we added a journal a few years later. Founders Journal has been going on quarterly since 1989, I think it is. And Pastors Fraternals, we've started a publishing house, Founders Press, which is very active now. You've published 3 books with us, I think it is, and hopefully we'll see more in the years ahead. We have started an online study center many, many years ago, about probably 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, to try to provide theological education for anybody that around the world. And God blessed that. We saw over 1,000 different people get trained through that from, you know, far reaches of the earth. And then 4.5, 5 years ago, we started the Institute of Public Theology. And that was in the wake of the COVID nonsense, or really in the midst of it. But we realized that pastors weren't being equipped the way they needed to be equipped in order to do what God calls us to do in this day. You know, we're not living where we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. So that institute started with a view to just offer certificates of theology. We weren't interested in accreditation or in any kind of credentialing. We just wanted to provide the best theological education in the world that we were capable of. And we were doing that. We've had graduates from that. One's planting a church in Michigan. 2 others have continued on. And what we now have is a full-blown MDiv program. And I'm excited about that. So Founders Seminary started last year. IOPT is becoming a 4-year Bible college that has not just public theology as a major, but business as well as Christian education. And I'm very encouraged with what the Lord is doing. The MDiv program is a 4-year program. It's a residential program, but we've also partnered with ABWE to offer a master's in arts for the workers that are associated with ABWE around the world. And we're very excited about that as well. So I'm encouraged on multiple fronts about what God is doing. And we've prayed just today with staff and with my wife. God's given us much good work to do, and there's much to be grateful for, but there's much to do. So we're trying to steward the best we can all that God's entrusted to us.
And it's even been a wild ride since 2017, 2018, whenever those controversies were taking place, to get to the present moment as well. And I'm so excited to see that, there's times to fight those battles. You know, there's times to use the sword, and then there's times to use the trowel as well, right? And that's one of the things that I love so much about your ministry, your legacy, is that there is a recognition of the times to fight, but then also the times to build. And in this case, building up IOPT and rolling that into Founders Seminary as well, and building some robust programs to train the next generation for public theology, to engage in the public sphere, preach the gospel, yes, obviously, but the whole counsel of God's word for all of life, which affects not just eternity, but also the here and now as well, which I know is one of the passions of people that are listening through the EM network and some of the things that we hold important in that group. And so really what I want to ask you, though, is, okay, in this day and age where there's all sorts of availability of resources, obviously Founders has been a part of publishing so many good resources. There's multiple seminaries that are Baptistic or Reformed or both, and maybe we would say varying degrees of quality, but there's some exceptional programs out there, of course. There's some wonderful institutions. Why would Founders Ministries, I'm asking this, you know, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but why would Founders decide, okay, we need to start a seminary here and now? That's what we need, is another seminary.
Yeah, and that's a good question. It was something that, thought long and hard about, because we're not interested in just replicating what's going on. In fact, we quit having an annual conference probably, I don't remember how many years ago, 10, 15 years ago, because I counted up one day and there were over 60 conferences in America that year that I would recommend people go to. But none of them had exactly our ethos, but many of them shared much of our theology with us. And I remember talking to the board and saying, hey, we're not in the conference business. You know, we're in the Reformation business. So let's encourage those good conferences going on and really pour our energies elsewhere. And that's kind of what we've done. And I have nothing negative to say about other seminaries. I want every good seminary to do good work. And I praise God for all the good work that's being done. But there's no seminary that I know of that's doing what we want to do. Our motto, which is not just a slogan with us, it is a real commitment, is we want to see men trained with sharp minds, warm hearts, and steel spines. And the steel spine component, I'm sure every minister wants and every seminary wants to equip for, but you got to know what day it is. You got to know what time it is and where we are today. Aaron Wren has helped me tremendously to provide a paradigm for thinking about the positive world, neutral world, negative world. If you've not read his book, Life in the Negative World, I highly commend it. And it is a way to think about what we are up against today. My theological training back in the 1980s was, I praise God for the good things that were done there and provided for me there, but I was not at all challenged to think about life the way it is now. And we need to help men to prepare themselves. Again, I was praying with faculty this morning about this very thing, that the men who've entrusted themselves to our help and teaching oversight by moving themselves in many respect, many times their families here to Southwest Florida in order to participate in the seminary. We owe them. They're not just students. They're men and they have souls, and God willing, they're going to pastor churches, and we need to pour our lives into them. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, to share not only the gospel with them, but our very lives with them, to help them understand what it's going to take to preach the gospel in a fulsome way in an increasingly hostile world. How do you do that without being a jerk or without being a coward? You're right. Going to need courage, and you're going to need love, and you're going to need wisdom. And we want to do our best to facilitate that in the context of a local church and give men who are elder qualified every opportunity to learn all that we can teach them, to send them out to churches where they'll be able to make a difference.
Now, it's good to think about this in the context of life in the negative world, because for as much as there's been a vibe shift perhaps over the last year or so, there's still, we should recognize in general, Christianity receding from public life, public consciousness, certainly in any kind of a way that would really drive people to repentance, to recognizing the lordship of Christ over all of life, the binding nature of God's law, and of course, the exclusivity and the saving power of the gospel, that we're not necessarily winning yet culturally on all of those issues. And the way that a pastor gets trained for life in the positive world or even the neutral world, where it's okay to be a Christian, is, I think, has to be qualitatively different versus right. somebody who's living in a negative world context, not just with outright persecution, but just with the soft marginalization right. that happens when Christianity, to profess to be Christian in some sense, no longer kind of gives you a favored status publicly. And so I think you're really well aligned for that. Now, again, going back over the last couple of years, you made a comment at the beginning. Back when we first crossed paths, there was all sorts of people in my network and in your network who all of those relational lines have been realigned, unfortunately. Fault lines, some would say, formed. And somebody that knew a lot about those fault lines, though, and somebody who stood with you over the last several years in boldly proclaiming the whole counsel of God's word, his law, and his gospel, somebody who was really bold in that respect was our brother, Vody Bakum. And how exciting and encouraging everything looked when it was announced really not that long ago that Brother Vody would be leaving his ministry in Zambia and taking on responsibility as president of Founder Seminary there in Cape Coral. And yet the dark and mysterious providence of God in taking our brother away at that time. So many people who are probably listening or watching this have followed his ministry for years. Of course, your relationship with him was personal, and there was a close friendship there. I spoke to him a small handful of times, but you had a deep relationship with Vody, obviously, he'd been a part of Founders even before that and engaged in other ways, I believe, on your board, although you can correct me if I'm mistaken. What did that look like, and how have you thought about that since his passing in, I believe it was September, you can correct me on that as well. How are you seeing God at work? I know that's a heavy hit, and yet also at the same time, what you're building there in Cape Coral is so much bigger than just one man and his legacy. But I'm sure there's questions of, Lord, what are you doing here? And what does that look like as you've taken the reins now as president and really being involved in a lot of different ministries there as well? What does that look like right now?
Yeah, well, certainly it was a grievous blow, a heavy stroke of providence when Vody died. And none of us expected it. He had just been given a pretty good bill of health at his last checkup. I talked to the doctors at Mayo Clinic after his death. They reached out and they said, man, we ran over his file again after hearing about his death. They said, we are convinced we did not miss anything. And it was an unusual aneurysm, aortic aneurysm that just burst and took him almost immediately. Nobody could have foreseen it coming. It just happened. And this was God's providence. So certainly knowing all we know about God, we have no reason to complain against him or question him, but we have many reasons to grieve because he took a loved one from us, a champion, you know, soldier from us. And Vody and I have known each other a long time. And we've tried several times. We never could remember exactly how we met, when we met. I know how we met, but can't remember when, but God just knit our hearts together pretty quickly. And he'd been over in Zambia for almost 10 years. And we talked off and on over the last few years. He anticipated wanting or needing to move back to the United States for a variety of reasons and thought that would happen maybe over a couple of year period. But it happened much quicker. God used a set of circumstances to get him out of Zambia and to America full time in ways that over a matter of weeks that he had not anticipated. And when he reached out to me in October of last year to tell me, hey, we're moving to not last year, but 2025. So we're going to be moving to America and I'm going to sell our house and we'll be able to afford to live in Cape Coral. We're coming. I told him, well, guess what we just decided to do? We're going to start a seminary. Why don't you come be president? You know, Vody had been a founding faculty member at IOPT. He and Tom Nettles and I started IOPT. And so I knew he'd be on board with the seminary, but he was excited about coming as president. And I, when we talk about sharp mind, warm heart, steel spine, you're talking about Vody Baucham. I mean, he embodied that. So I was excited about having him here, working with him. You know, he wasn't in the picture whenever we decided to go ahead and start the seminary and had everything set up about how we were going to operate, but he quickly came on board. And I was very, very grateful that he was willing to move his family here and get harnessed and go forward. Unfortunately, it didn't last long. I mean, he and his family moved here about a year ago in April of 2026 or 2025. And then he was still carrying out a lot of other responsibilities. So we had our first convocation in September of last year. He preached that convocation on Saturday. He preached in our church on Sunday, the following day, for the first time as a member. He'd preached here before as a guest. He kept saying, man, I get to preach in my church. I get to preach in my church. And it was just a wonderful weekend. Monday, we spent the day recording some things for the seminary. And then he took his family to Texas to visit family. And while watching a movie with his wife, just had this event that took him home and on Thursday. So yeah, that was September of last year, but he had not started doing the day-to-day administrative work of the seminary. So we haven't missed that. You know, I hadn't relied upon him for that yet. He had gone out to promote the seminary and that had been very fruitful, very good. People were excited. I mean, you can't be around Vody without being excited. And when you saw the vision of the seminary as he embodied it, it just rallied people to pay attention and to want to partner with us. And so we're still very much in that phase of trying to get people to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and pray that God would raise up financial partners to help us. We've got a massive vision, and I'm excited about it. It's unlike anything that I know of ever. I mean, there's one place in history in the late 17th, early 18th century, England, in Bristol, in what became the Bristol Academy in Broadmead Church in England, that is approximates what we're doing. But this is even a bigger vision than that. And I've told people who've asked about, you know, what are your needs and how much, you know, what kind of money do you need? I've said, look, if God gave us $40 million today, we wouldn't have to spend an hour figuring out what to do with it. We are ready. We know what we need to do with it. And we're just trusting God to raise up the support that he knows we need. And if he gives it, we'll use it wisely. And if it comes quickly, we'll be grateful and move faster. But if it comes slowly, then we'll be grateful and we'll plod on, because we got a pretty clear vision. And Vody was very much a part of that. I'm sorry. I regret that he's not here to help see it come to fruition. But there's something that can never be taken away from him or Founders Seminary, and that is that he was the first president of Founders Seminary. And he was so grateful to God for that, as were we and everybody associated with the seminary. We're grateful that God gave that privilege to us and to him.
And certainly as we look at his legacy, that embodies exactly what you've articulated as the motto: the sharp minds, warm hearts, and spines of steel. And calloused hands too. That's all a part of the ethos, right? But I want to toot your horn a little bit. I mean, you are talking about, you have a vision to grow, and I think that's important. I think you can look at a lot of ministries that start with a small group of people or start with one pastor or one prominent individual, and you see some of those ministries begin to peter out as that leader or that figurehead reaches a certain point in his ministry. But with Founders, it seems that there is a vision that this outlasts, obviously outlasting Vody, outlasts Tom as well. And a lot of, I think, like-minded brothers in our world these days are thinking about the idea of Christian boroughs, about let's form communities that are strong, that are anti-fragile, that have a thick, rich Christian cultural heritage, where there's these organic ties between not just good gospel preaching churches, but also Christian businesses and schools and other educational institutions and strong households. And there's economy and commerce happening between these aligned institutions. And then out of that can come not just, going to war over cultural issues or browbeating people about, the finer points of Calvinism, but out of that comes robust, full-orbed Christian witness in a locality and ultimately to the nation and to the nations. So the type of things that we're passionate here, I'm passionate about, ABWE is passionate about as well. So, for somebody who's thinking, okay, I know of a few maybe Christian hubs throughout the country, Cape Coral, safe to call it, not exactly a booming metropolis for a lot of people. But what you have, I think, going and the vision is something really special. Sketch that out. What would it look like for somebody to become a part of building something in Cape Coral with you?
Yeah, well, we're very excited about that. We've got some of our men have started this little entrepreneurial study, Bible study, prayer time, because they have been gathering monthly, praying that God will prosper their businesses, some of them brand new businesses, others of them more established, prosper them beyond what they've projected for this current year, and asking God to do that so that they might steward that abundance in ways that will be able to be invested in the kingdom. And so I'm very excited about that. We have a classical Christian school that's in its fifth year as well. It's busting at the seams. We're out of space. We've got a church. One of the things that's unique about us, I mean, others have this as well, but in the whole package, it's unique, is we're a 1689 church. We're an unashamed confessional church. And I tell people, look, we're solidly Reformed and Baptistic, but we're not mad about it. We're not holding people at all.
I think I've used that line many times, and I'm remembering I probably did get that from you many years ago.
Yeah, it's just we're happy and we're delighted when we find any Christians, anybody who loves Christ, we're with. and we want to partner with wherever we can. We can't do everything together, but man, we can do a lot together. Joel Beakey is one of my dear friends. He preaches regularly here in our church, and just love him. Joel and I'll never start a church together, but we can partner together on multiple levels. And so I'm excited about that. We have people moving here to be a part of Fletcher School this year. That's happened before, but we're having two other families I know of in the next couple of months moving here. We have people moving regularly to be a part of Founders, either our seminary or the college or the Founders Ministries. God's blessed our church in wonderful ways. It's the healthiest it's ever been. We're seeing conversions. We're out of space. People have been so kind in giving up the best seats and parking two blocks away and doing things that you just normally wouldn't expect or ask anyone to do. But the Lord has done this, and we're grateful for it. And we're praying that he will help us to steward it well. So I'm delighted when people come. One of the things we don't want to be is a destination church or, a church that people just kind of move to because they have these false ideas of what's going on. We're a church full of sinners, and we're led by sinners. And that's certainly true. But God is doing a wonderful thing here. And while I wouldn't say, hey, just pick up your family and move here for the church, there are other good churches. You need to get in a good church. Yeah. If God's qualified you to be an elder and your church affirms that, and you're looking for theological training beyond what you can get where you are, man, we want you to give us a look. And if we can be of service to you, Founders Ministry services churches all over the world. And we provide books for churches, 50% off, and resources otherwise, that whatever we can do, we want to help churches to develop these kind of communities. And we're excited that God's doing it here in Cape Coral. Mm.
So let's say I'm somebody who's considering becoming, a part of that type of a community, and everything you're saying speaks to me. In terms of the seminary program, if you've spent any time at all looking at the big box seminaries, it is expensive. And for many men, it's prohibitive because I can't leave my employment or my current church ministry. Maybe I'm already pastoring in some capacity, but I never finished my MDiv or something like that. And I would say it seems like, correct me if any of this is wrong, but there's a high emphasis on in-person learning. That's core. I think that when you're learning online, even an online seminary program, many of them are great, but there's trade-offs. And sometimes it's easy to coast through those and be less engaged. I think everybody learns better in person. But what would you say, number one, you'd say it's worth it to be there and be a part of Founders Seminary in person. But then secondarily, what does Founders do to make seminary education accessible for men? Because I just see the education kind of market as a bubble that's expanding, and the cost and the amount of time that it takes to complete one of these terminal theological degrees usually is excessive, and I don't think that's sustainable in the long term. And so I love seeing smaller, maybe not nationally accredited, but partially accredited or locally accredited church-based Bible institutes or small seminaries. I love seeing that because that, to me, looks like the church is taking back theological education out of the hands of just kind of nameless, faceless entities, networks, parachurch organizations. So how is it that Founders Seminary is making that accessible and not so prohibitive for the type of man who's already engaged in the work of the Lord in some way?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. It's a great point that you raise. And I've contended for years that anybody who wants to get an education, anybody who wants to learn, if they have a computer and access to the internet, they can learn. There's so many things available today for free, so many quality types of materials available for free. I remember what started us down the road of developing the Founders Study Center 25, 30 years ago was a little 2-inch column that I read in the Wall Street Journal that MIT had decided they were going to put all of their courses online for free. And back then, what that meant is the lecture notes. And when I read that, I thought the world's changed. Educationally, the world's changed. And so in one sense, you don't need a degree. You don't need any kind of credentials to learn valuable information. But as you pointed out, there's more to being formed for gospel ministry than just getting knowledge. Knowledge is crucial. but it is not exhaustive. That's not all that you need. And only God can make a pastor, and that comes in the context of a local church. And so we are very committed to this local church, and our students have to be members of this church, our professors have to be members of this church or another church that we are good with them being members of. And this has been the overwhelming response. We've got 31 residential members, right? Our residential students right now, I think. And the overwhelming response of those that have moved here, some were already here, is that they love the seminary, love the classes, but the church has been the most significant impact on their lives. And that's not because we're a great church. I mean, by God's grace, we're a wonderful church and it's a blessing, but it's because there's been decades worth of intentionality of trying to live the way that we understand God's called a church to live. And that has had an impact on our professors as well as our students. So that's been kind of a core commitment. We want men to be here to taste that, to breathe the air, to get plugged into a local church while they're learning these high-fueled academic disciplines. They need all of that, but we want it to be in the context of a church. However, we realize not everybody's going to move, not everybody should move. And so we do have avenues whereby they can get theological training of a sort, and partial training, through courses that we provide online. We have a Founders Online Study Center now that has 7 or 8 courses that's like $25 a course. It's available for anybody. You don't get professor direction, but you get quizzes, you get little study guides. Churches are using this for discipleship. So I encourage anybody to go to Founders Online, look up the Founders Online Study Center, look at those courses. It's 10 lectures or 10 sessions taken from our core courses taught by our professors. And you can use it in your church. You can use it privately in a small group. We're going to build it out more. I think our goal is to have 10 or 12 courses up by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That's one avenue. But then the Institute of Public Theology, that's going to be renamed here by the end of the year, God willing. But all of our courses are online. And so a man or a woman, anyone, it's not limited to men. The seminary is limited to men. But a man that wanted to enroll in the seminary can do a bachelor's to MDiv program, which is a 6-year program. The first 4 of those years are you're taking seminary level courses, but you're taking them through IOPT. And if you stop after that point, you'll have a bachelor's of theology. And you can do all of that online. Now, to complete the MDiv, to get an MDiv, you have to spend time here. And 2 years is the minimum for that. So there are men who I know have looked into that. Some, I think we've got a couple of them that are doing that now. We have others, you know, not just elder qualified men that are aspiring to pastoral ministry, but just God's people that want more rigorous training in doctrine or now business or education. They can take all of those courses online as well. So the bachelor's level courses are all available online, and we provide master's level courses through IOPT online for those that sign up for the BA to MDiv course, and they don't have to complete it all the way to the MDiv. If they stop, they'll get a bachelor's of theology.
And also shout out about the program between ABWE and Founders Ministries that you mentioned earlier, and the important work of our mutual friend, Dr. E.D. Burns, who serves both as executive director for all of our missionary training, but then also serves with Founders Seminary as well. He wears a lot of hats, as many of us do. And tell us a little bit more about that program. That might be an exception to some of what you said as far as distance learning is for missionaries in particular. Yeah,
that's exactly right. We were so excited when E.D., we sat down with him and he said, yeah, I want to work with Founders Seminary. He had just accepted the position of ABWE, I think, and was trying to put together something. And so we said, brother, just do it. You know, so he designed the Master of Arts program in missiology and cultural apologetics. And it's designed for ABWE workers, those that are already on the field or going to the field. And we're very excited about that. You can take those courses online as well. There may be in the future the possibility of taking those courses, even if you're not formally affiliated with ABWE, but that'll have to be negotiated as we go forward. Right now, it's designed specifically for the workers that have been vetted through ABWE's process. And I think we have 11 of the students in the MA program through ABWE. I'm very excited about that. I mean, there's nobody better than ED, I think, for thinking through the academic training for those on the field or going to the field in cross-cultural context. He did this for another seminary out in the Northwest years ago and had some limitations on him. Now he has no limitations. So, man, design what you think is best. And he's done it. And I've looked over the curriculum and it's stellar. It is absolutely stellar. So I think it's a wonderful partnership. Anybody who's thinking about going cross-culturally to do mission work ought to look at ABWE and then look at this program, because I think you're getting the best of both worlds if you were to avail yourself of them.
I couldn't agree more. And indeed, ED is one of the brightest missiologists I've ever encountered. I think one of the sharpest out there today in general. But we're running out of time here. And I do want to give a final charge because I know how it is. And I think this is probably true for many of the viewers of or listeners to Eschatology Matters and other shows in this sphere. You consume content. You think about eschatology, or you think about biblical teaching on this topic or this theological subject matter. You think about culture and what's happening around us, and there's so much happening around us. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy, even as someone who believes that we're on the winning side, and maybe even that victory is working itself out in history in some way through the spread of the gospel, through the Great Commission. You believe all of that, but you still have that temptation to take the black pill, as the kids say, right? To be discouraged, to despair. And my challenge would be a part of one of these projects, be a part of a Christian community, a borough, an interconnected network of people that are not just fighting, doing that when the hour calls for it, but also building something that has the possibility to sustain the progress of the spread of Christ's kingdom intergenerationally for ages into the future. And I believe you're building that type of a thing there, Tom. So where can people find out more information?
Yeah, you can go to founders.org and just spend days on that site. It's filled with materials free and things that you can get at discounted prices too. Again, if you're a church or pastor, you want to order any books from Founders Press, you get them 50% off. Just let them know you're doing it for a church. You can go to foundersseminary.org or iopt.org. Those are separate websites, but they're all connected with each other. So if you get to founders.org, you can find out more about all the various things we're doing and the pastor seminars we're putting together and conferences and books that are coming out, as well as what's upcoming in both IOPT and Founders Seminary.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Tom. And this episode, maybe a little bit of a change of pace for regular listeners and followers, but hopefully encouraging nonetheless. We need to fight and we need to build. We need to have warm hearts, sharp minds, and steel spines. And so I'm Alex Kochman here from the ABWE International Headquarters with the EM Network and with all of our friends at Founders Ministries. Take care and Lord bless.
God bless.
Our sponsors, SteadfastCigars.com, promo code Eschatology10, RockwallBibles.com, Boniface Media, Grace and Truth Press, Grace and Truth Records,